one of the other hats I wear is I train chaplains, and had a tremendous week this week. People that have been reaching out to me about our next chaplaincy training, and we're actually sponsoring a training at our church in Paloma, at Paloma in Mesa, and I just want to get this out there. It is specifically for police and fire.
Your mic.
I think you have a mic, do you? Is it on?
When I do my training, I try to cover several aspects of chaplaincy: police, fire, corrections, hospice, hospital, all the above. But this one is specifically for those who are interested in serving as chaplains for the police or fire departments, because there's a great need in our area. I've talked to you. Mayors of some of the surrounding cities, and they just really—they either don't have the funds for it, or they just don't have the interest for it. It's not an easy job, but I thank God for chaplaincy. I have a great place in my heart for chaplaincy, and I know that I just lost a dear friend of over 50 years. He's been my friend, and he was a chaplain to the prisons in Georgia, several of the prisons in Georgia, and now he is with the Lord, and I just thank God for his life. So that's just a little commercial there. But we want to talk this morning about something that I've been in the ministry for 54 years. I know, I don't look that old, but I started, interestingly enough, I graduated on June the 5th in 1970. Boy, that'll date you, won't it? And I'm not saying this to sound self-righteous, but instead of going on our class trip to New York with all the rest of my graduating class, I preached a revival in Three Rivers, Michigan. So that was kind of like my launch into the ministry, as it were. I had done some ministry prior to that, but I really hadn't jumped into it. I say all that to say this, not to tell you how long I've been in the ministry, but to say to you that in those 54 years, not until last year, in 2023, did I intentionally focus on the subject of the ascension. Now, I know that you and I usually relegate that to the season of resurrection, and rightly so. But what occurred to me when I was studying for that is that this is the event. This is the experience that ties everything else about the ministry of Jesus together. And we hear so little about it. And so I want to share with us, just for a few minutes this morning. We all know better than that, right? But for a few minutes, or at least as long as my battery lasts, that there is meaning, there is power, there is great significance in the ascension of Jesus Christ. And so this experience is listed both in Luke chapter 24, if you want to look there, and also in the first chapter of Acts. In Luke chapter 24, and then it's alluded to in Matthew, where Jesus gives the great, what we call the Great Commission. But in these in these moments, in these experiences, Jesus takes his disciples out to the Mount of Ascension. He takes them out and he blesses them. That's awesome, isn't it? He blesses them and then he commissions them. And he says to them, all authority, all power, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Now that's a lot of authority. Amen. And but this is Jesus talking. And then Jesus says, now, based on that, in light of that, now that you know that, go into all the world in that authority, in that power, in my name, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So in that authority, Jesus gave his followers the authority, under his authority, to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, into the whole world. Mind-blowing as that must have been to the disciples. And mind-blowing as it is to you and me. When I know as a 19-year-old, actually as a 17-year-old kid, in a youth revival, in an altar, I felt the call of God on my life. Now let me tell you a secret. I grew up in a pastor's home. No thank you. Can I get a witness? I grew up in a pastor's home. I saw the challenges. I saw the struggles. I lived the experience of being a pastor's kid. And I told the Lord, and that is something. I know you've never done that. But I told the Lord, don't ever call me to be a pastor. Well, can I tell you, you can't tell the Lord what to do? And sometimes the things we resist the most are the things that God's pulling on us. Now that touched somebody's heart this morning. I'm not touching your heart. God's touching your heart in the power of His Holy Spirit. But I told the Lord, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. I want to play basketball. I want to be an athlete. I want to go to college and play basketball. And I did go to college. And I did play basketball. But I also answered the call of God on my heart and on my life to preach the gospel. And in all of that transition, the Lord began to prepare me to do what I'm doing here now. But never in all of those years, those 53 years, as it was last year, 54 years this year, had I ever intentionally sat down and studied and developed a message on the ascension. I knew it was important. I knew it happened. You know, the closest I got, one of the first sermons I ever preached, Sister Naomi, was when Jesus was standing there on that mountain, and then he went up into heaven. But you know what? I didn't preach that. That just led me into my message. My message was the angels appearing to the disciples and saying, oh, you men of Israel, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you see going up into heaven will also come in like manner, even as you see him go. So you see what the theme of my message was, right? It wasn't his ascension. It was his second coming. We always get the cart before the horse, don't we? His second coming is important. It's vital. It's a part of the gospel. But you see, if he had not ascended, then his dying was not complete. Now you're going, wait a minute. Jesus on the cross said it is finished. Yes, he did. And I'm going to walk you through that. But Jesus still had something to do that required him to ascend. Amen? So here, when we read Acts 1 and Luke 24, we get the significance of everything that Jesus did. Listen, I've preached about his miracles, his life, his arrest, his betrayal, his beating, his burial, his resurrection. I preached all of those messages. But this experience ties it all together. Why? Because the ascension of Jesus Christ signaled the end of his earthly ministry. Here's what I mean. When Jesus died on the cross, yes, he did say, it is finished. And Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He bowed his head and he died, and they buried him. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is him appearing to the disciples behind locked doors. I might share that one with you. Maybe even next week. I don't know. I just think it's a powerful message of the resurrection. But listen, Jesus still did ministry after his resurrection. What was he doing for the 40 days between the resurrection and his ascension? He was pouring into his disciples. He was explaining things to him. Remember, as he was discipling them those 3 years, they would constantly say, "What does that mean? What does that mean?" You know. And so now Jesus, in his resurrected state, is saying to his disciples for those 40 days, "Okay, guys, you've been asking me all this time, and I told you earlier, I have many more things to share with you, but you aren't ready to receive it." There's a lot of things I'd like to know from God, but there have been times when the Lord has had to remind me, "You ain't ready for it, boy." Well, that's what I mean. We get the cart before the horse. We want the victory, but we don't want to get the training. I meant me, I'm sorry. Okay. But it signaled the end of his earthly ministry. And then it signified the success of his earthly ministry. You see, Jesus finished his work and then he could go. Right? And so it signified the success. It shows the return, his return in glory. How many times did the Lord promise that he would return? It signified in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, one of my favorite verses, the exaltation by the Father. He has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm in the right rally. Amen. Praise God. And so the prophets foretold that Jesus spoke about going to his Father. And he said it is absolutely necessary. I'm trying to remember the King James word that is expedient. It is expedient for you that I go away, Jesus said to his disciples. Because they're like, "What? Don't be talking this going away stuff." And Jesus said, it's expedient. It's better for you. It's more profitable for you if I go away. Because if I go, I'm going to my Father. Wow. And so when he said, it's better for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. I almost remember the whole cowboy thing. There ain't room in this town for the both of us, you know. And Jesus is saying, I'm going away, but the Father is going to send the Comforter. And he's with you right now. Jesus said that. He's with you right now, but he will be in you. Glory to God. And so Jesus ascends. And when he ascends, they see him physically ascend. Here's something we've got to grasp, because it's hard to grasp. This is a very difficult thing to get through our mind. Jesus was fully God, fully man. Jesus will now always be fully God, fully man. When he resurrected in his glorified state. And when he returns, he will return in his glorified state. And we will, as the angel said, we will see him as he is. Praise God. Let me keep an eye on this right here. Praise the Lord. And so what we see here is, what does it mean? What does the ascension mean? Jesus spoke about it. He told Mary. He said to Mary in the garden after his resurrection, he said, don't hang on to me. Don't hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Oh, okay? And so he's predicting he's going to his Father. Luke records it, both in 24, Luke and Acts 1. And it says, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by him in white apparel. And you know who they were. So what does this mean for Jesus? What does the ascension mean for Jesus? It means the humiliation is over. What do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean, humiliation? Jesus, I've had a conversation this week with somebody about this. I think the thing I look for in a minister is humility. That's the thing I look for, John. I'm not looking at their resume, and I'm not looking at their accolades. I'm looking at their humility. Because nothing demonstrates the heart of God greater than our humility. Because Jesus, being God, humbled himself. He humiliated himself and made himself nothing, that he could make us everything. Amen. And so the exaltation of Jesus, it's the end of his humiliation, but it's the beginning of his exaltation. He is beginning at that point to be exalted. I love that. We exalt thee. I love that song. We exalt thee. And I love, is it the fourth chapter of Revelation where the elders are around and they throw their crowns at the feet of the throne and they exalt the Lord. Glory to God. He's sitting, he's resurrected, then he is ascended, and then he is exalted. How's he exalted? He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on High. Who's the Majesty on High? That is Father God. He is seated at the right hand of God. Amen? So the ascension of Christ indicates his new work in heaven. You see, Jesus is the only one who was prophet, priest, and king. So as a prophet, he preached to us. He told us the good news. He told us why he came and what the effects of his coming, his dying, his raising again were. He preached to us. He prophesied to us. He taught us. He discipled us. But when he ascended, he gave gifts. What kind of gifts? When he ascended, he gave gifts. He gave apostles. Paul puts it this way, and he gave to the church apostles. Those are gifts. He gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists, he gave pastors and teachers. Now, some will argue that pastor and teacher is one. I'm not going to argue that today. It's irrelevant to me whether they're one or two. Every pastor should be a teacher. Amen. And so the point is, he gave those gifts to the church. And then he ascended on high. And Hebrews 1:3 said, when he had himself purged our sins, he sat down. Now, he didn't sit down because he was tired. He sat down because that was his job. His job was to ascend to the Father and act as our high priest. Now, how does he do that? He ascends to the Father. Hebrews explains it really well. Hebrews says he, with his own blood. You see, he entered into, where did he enter into? He entered into the Holy of Holies. The writer of Hebrews called it the tabernacle, get this, not made with hands. Where's that? That's the heavenly tabernacle. You see, everything that we know about the Lord is demonstrated in types and images. I know I'm standing on soldiers on the shoulders of a man who taught you all this stuff. But listen, this is important to me. Jesus will forever be, because the scripture said he ever liveth. He will forever be our high priest. Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews calls him our priest, the great priest, our high priest, a priest forever. So he is now our priest. He's the priest. Now what do priests do? Priests pray for you. Priests bless you. They anoint you. Priests offer sacrifices for you. You see, earthly priests do that, at least in the early days of Israel. Early priests did that every once in a while. They had different times when they would do that. Jesus did it once. Once. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats is not sufficient to cleanse us. But the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All sin. Amen? Praise God. You see why I just think this is such a powerful point to make here. He presented himself. The key word in the book of Hebrews is the word better. Better. And the writer says he was a better sacrifice. A better sacrifice. And so Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to him, come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us, for them. Amen. The ascension of Christ is what has initiated the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the ascension that opened the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. I used to say the Acts 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the disciples in the upper room, in recorded in Acts 2, is the proof that Jesus made it to heaven. Okay? Because Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to go to my Father, I'm going to pray the Father, and He's going to send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. So, when the Holy Spirit descends upon those in the upper room, cloven tongues like fire, sets upon each of them, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, fulfilling what Jesus said, He's with you, but He will be in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So then Jesus says, it is better for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. The question that naturally occurs to my mind, I don't know if it did to yours, but how can it be better? How is it better? What can be better than Jesus Himself standing right here with you and me? Jesus is saying, it is better that I go away and the Holy Spirit comes. How can that possibly be better? It's better because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, our guide, our teacher, the promise, the gift. Jesus said, He is with you, but He will be in you. Jesus promised to never leave us or forsake us, and yet now He's saying to the disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to send another. Praise God. How is this better? Why? It is better. Look at them. They are weeping and mourning because of Jesus' death. And then here on the Mount of Ascension, they are rejoicing. They're rejoicing with Him. So Jesus, it says it's better. Why? Because he opened their understanding while he was teaching them about the Holy Spirit. He will endue you with power. The Holy Spirit will open your understanding to what I've been teaching you. Now, we can teach people till we're blue in the face, but until the Holy Spirit gives them the understanding, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. But Jesus said, because he died on the cross, actually, Watchman Nee said, because Jesus died on the cross, we receive forgiveness of sins. Because the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, we've received new life. Because Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of the Father, then we have the outpouring and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So the ascension of Christ gives the believer, you and me, the believer, access to God. You see, when you and I are in sin, we're cut off from access to God. And so Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, reopened that access that sin cut off, that disobedience cut off. His obedience opened that door. His obedience created that reconnection with the Father. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say unto you, the works that I do, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, they will do also. Wow. You see, there are those who teach that miracles don't happen anymore and the gifts seized with the apostles and all that. Listen, I'm sorry, my experience is not that. And my understanding of Scripture is not that. But here's what he said. Whoever believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater. Everybody say greater.
Greater?
How can we do greater? Listen, I can't do greater, but we can do greater. Glory to God. You see, in the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, do you know that every believer has resident within them the Holy Spirit? Every believer. And that there are around 1 billion believers in the world today. 1 billion believers. Now, there is a movement out there, thank God. There's a movement out there, and I want to think of the name. I think it's Global Church Network. And I've met the creator of that, Jim Davis, and he's awesome. He's an awesome guy. And his emphasis is on prayer. But he has traveled the entire world, connecting people all over the world, every country, to pray and prepare to reach 1 billion souls by 2033. Wow. Now, you and I, in our simplicity, we could say, well, Frank, if there's 1 billion Christians right now, why don't each of us just reach one person with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How simple would that be? Well, I could bring that home to Living Waters here in Casa Grande. I could say to you and to me, hey, our church could double next Sunday if each and every one of us just reached one person. One person. That's why my first message to you was love them, find them, tell them, and bring them. It sounds simple, doesn't it? But here's what we need. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to be prepared. Not, you know, all kinds of studying and all that stuff. I'm trying to get it all right so I say all the right things. No, it's not about that. It's about being willing, open and willing, and say, here am I, Lord. It's us being Isaiah. Here am I, Lord. Send me. So the ascension of Christ guaranteed you as a believer an enlarged ministry. Wow, that's powerful. Greater things than this shall you do. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And because there are many of us scattered throughout the world. Hallelujah. And listen, I know that in this turbulent time, we could lose hope. We really could. We could lose hope. We could say, it's so bad, but the Bible said it would get bad. The Word of God says it will get bad. In the last days, men will be lovers of pleasure, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than of God. That's going to happen. And there'll be a great falling away, and that's going to happen. But He also said, in the last days, I'll pour out My Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Hallelujah! Oh yeah, there'll probably be a great falling away, but there'll also be a great revival. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. There'll be a whole lot of shaking going on. But what is God's fruit will remain. Hallelujah. So, the ascension of Jesus means that He will come back the same way He left. How did He leave? Physically. How's He coming back? Physically. How did He leave? On the clouds. In the clouds. How's He coming back? In the clouds. Now, Revelation throws in the horses. I like that. Horses. That's cool. I don't know. I don't know if that's literally, you know, fleshly horses, or if that's all in John's mind, he knew how to describe it. I don't know. And I don't care. All I know is He's coming back. Hallelujah. He is coming back in the clouds. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So the ascension means that Jesus will come back the same way He left. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I'll receive you unto Myself, that where I am, you will be also. Hallelujah. We need to get excited about that, folks. The ascension of Christ foreshadows the future, our future ascension into heaven. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The ascension of Christ made room for us to be seated with Him. Oh, hang on. Hang on. Listen to what the Word of God says. The word of God says that we are raised up together. And He has made us to sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. He raised us up together. You know, the Scripture says if we are buried with Him, we'll be raised with Him. Wow. You see, because what does all this have to do with you and me today? What's that got to do with me today? So what, Pastor? Thanks for sharing all this really interesting and inspiring. I preached for a guy in Chicago one time. And afterward, he goes up to the pulpit and he says, well, that was inspiring. What? I'm not just here to inspire you today. I'm here to encourage you that Jesus is the ascended Lord, Savior, our High Priest, and that that ascended Lord that we exalt is also the one who's going to return on the clouds with glory, with tens of thousands of His saints. Hallelujah. And we will be seated with Him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. So what does it have to do with you and me today? Because Jesus ascended to the Father. He's our High Priest. That's one thing it has to do. I have a priest I can go to. Hallelujah. He's ever living to make intercession for you. He sent His Holy Spirit to empower you to do all the things that He's commanded and commissioned you to do. These aren't the great suggestions. Just like the Ten Commandments aren't the Ten Suggestions. The Great Commission's not the Great Suggestion. It's a commission. Hallelujah. A co-mission. I love that word. Because what it says is that I'm on the same mission Jesus was on. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. Hallelujah. If God has called you out of darkness and into His glorious light, if God has saved you from your sins, if the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all unrighteousness, if you have been set free by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have a calling and a commission. I just felt like the Lord touched my heart when I was preparing this message that somebody is wrestling with their calling. I'm not calling you. I'm not the caller. I had a church one time call me to be their pastor. I had to have a conversation with them about that. See, we don't call someone to be our pastor. God calls them to be our pastor. No man, woman, child, or beast called me into the ministry. God called me into the ministry. Nobody called you out of darkness but Jesus Christ. Amen. But because Jesus ascended and is seated at the right hand of God and sent the Holy Spirit, we have someone who's interceding for us and has shared the Holy Spirit with us and empowered us to do what He's called us and commissioned us to do. B. Because Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, He sent His Holy Spirit, and we can do what the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. Because the Holy Spirit indwells us, we can discern right from wrong. We have Anita's mother with us. We provide 24-hour care for her. She's invalid. And we have people who come in from time to time. And this person who's helping us now is a believer, and we have such good conversations. But she shared with us, I have discernment. I thought, wow, if there's anything believers need today. You know what blows my mind? I'm just going to deviate just a slight bit, okay? Well, it blows my mind to watch the political ads and to know that it is a bold-faced lie. A bold-faced lie. A statistically fact-checked lie. And yet they have no qualms about saying it. Well, you and I, Spirit-filled believers, should have the ability in the Holy Spirit to discern the truth. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, He, the Holy Spirit, will guide you, hallelujah, into all truth. I was having a guy work on my computer when computers were brand new to me. And he put this awesome security thing on my computer. And he said, okay, Pastor, nobody can get into that computer unless, of course, you open the door. I went, wow. Wow. You see, I believe if we ask the Holy Spirit to give us discernment and wisdom, He will show us the truth. If we'll let Him. If we'll accept it. If we're so locked into our thinking that we can't hear the truth will make you free. And then, because the Holy Spirit indwells in us, He guides us into all truth. We have insight. He imparts His gifts and empowers us so we can obey Jesus. And then, because Jesus ascended into heaven, I can trust Him to keep His promise. That at the Father's good time, we will be caught up with Him. He will return at the Father's good time. He Himself said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has kept in His own hand. But God has a time, and God knows the time. And in His good time, He will send His Son, and He will gather us home to that place He has prepared for us. I will come for you, and you will be with me forever. So, the main conclusion of this message, and I really am concluding. The main conclusion of this message on the ascension of Jesus Christ is that the ascension is crucial. It ties together every aspect of Jesus' ministry, both earthly and heavenly. It marks the end of His earthly ministry, the beginning of His exaltation to glory, the beginning of His high priesthood, His interceding for believers. It's through His ascension, Jesus Christ has made a way for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and empowers us for ministry. And it's through the ascension that the promise of His return is validated. Praise God. Because Jesus has ascended and is seated at the right hand of God and empowered us through the Holy Spirit, we can live bold, purposeful, and expectant lives. My pastor hammers home that word bold. But you see, he defines it as clarity. Have you ever noticed that when you are clear about what you think or feel or believe, that you're bold about it? It's when we're not, when we're uncertain, ambivalent, or whatever, then we're not so bold. Jesus gives us clarity. He gives us clarity because Jesus has ascended into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. We can live bold, purposeful, and expectant lives. Glory to God. He is interceding for you right now. And so we can come boldly into the throne of grace. We, you and I, can come boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly. Not self-righteously, but boldly. Not entitledly, if that's a word, but boldly. We come into the throne of grace, asking God to fill us with His Holy Spirit. So this week, I'm challenging us. I'm challenging you. Step into your calling. Hallelujah. Whether it's sharing your faith or serving in your community or deepening your relationship with God through prayer and getting into His Word, know that you and I are empowered to do greater things. Greater things. Jesus promised that we would be His hands and His feet in this world. So let's go into the world and make a difference. Let's live today in the power of His ascension. Hallelujah. trusting in His return. And until then, we have a mission. You have a mission, Nancy. A mission. We have a mission. Let's fulfill that mission. We are the church. The church has a mission. What's our mission? Share the gospel with friends, family, loved ones, enemies. Oh, wait a minute now, Pastor. Oh, hey, I'm just quoting Jesus. I'm just quoting Jesus. Will you answer the call today? Will you embrace the ascended Christ? Will you commit to the calling and the commission of your Lord, Savior, Priest, and King? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I just sense to pray the prayer David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Father, in the power of the resurrected, ascended, and glorified Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, remind us this morning and throughout this week that resident within us now, because of Jesus' ascension, is the indwelling, indoing power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the reason we're on earth, to fulfill, to complete our mission. Help us to be bold. Help us to be purposeful. Help us to honor the ascended Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.